Today I want to talk about wising up about God's direction in our life. In our series in Proverbs calls Wise Up About Life. What we're doing right now, if you haven't been here before, is we're walking through a few different subjects in Proverbs. And today's proverb, which may seem confusing at first, and yet it might be familiar to us, we're going to read together, and then I want to break it down so we can understand it. And then we're going to make application, all right? So can you go to the next slide? All right, so I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay, boy, that second half of five is a little bit tough, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Don't trust your own understanding. Wow. You know, I look at this, and the first question I have in here, and I want you to know something, that because I get up and preach on Sunday, and I give you what I think God's wanting us to hear, does not mean that I've got it all together. Okay? This is one of those verses that it speaks to me as much as it's going to speak to you today. Maybe more, because I spent a week on it. You're just spending an hour. Okay? Or half an hour listening, but just looking at this, I think, man, you know, you just, do you ever feel like you have to hear it over and over again? Yeah, it's that way. Okay, so the first question is, does God still guide us today? I mean, after all, it's 2016, we are in a modern day, for heaven's sakes, and the Bible's old. In fact, the passages that we're looking at today were written 3,000 years ago. And it's certainly, when we look at it, we can see how God guided Abraham, can't we? To go to the promised land, to sacrifice his son, or attempt to sacrifice. So we see Moses, we see Samuel, we see the Apostle Paul. We're down to 2,000, right? But will he guide you in your daily life in decisions is the real question. The answer is, I'm going to give you the answer before we do it. Yes, he will guide you if you want him to guide you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, and I'm just going to read 13. For it is God who works in you both to will, to desire, and to do, perform, his good pleasure. God is working in you both to desire and to perform his good pleasure. Now I want to read this literally, almost word for word in the Greek, so it'll make sense to you. For God is the one operating in you both the to want or to desire and the to operate, to serve on behalf of his good desire. In other words, he puts that want to into you and to operate in you. And then Romans 8 says to us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you sons of God this morning? Okay. Raise your hand if you're a son of God. Okay. How many of you are daughters of God? No, I'm just kidding. No, we're all children of God, aren't we? And if we're children of God, he is leading us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has been one of my favorite verses through the years, and I memorized it one summer at Daily Vacation Bible School in the state of Washington, and never have let go of that memory verse. And I can say that I haven't always thought about it. There's times when I haven't applied it. There's times when I trust in me more than I trust in God. Is it just me? Okay, yeah, we all do that, don't we? You know, I look at it and I think I'm somewhat of a planner, and, you know, in business it's always about writing your two-year goals and your 5-year goals, which always becomes a joke, doesn't it? Companies push it down your throat to do it, and, you know, of course, I ran companies and I was in management and those kind of things. We'd write down our 2 years and 5 years goal, and by the time we got to the 5 years, it didn't look anything like what we wrote, okay? And there's a reason for that. We get lost in the busyness of the day, but God has always seemed to work around me at that point. But the promise that he directs my paths and not that I really direct them at all in my own life has been proven over and over to be true in my life. How about yours? Solomon also stated this in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Or King David, his father, in Psalms 37 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Isn't that a comforting verse? So obviously, the little things like tying our shoes, getting out of bed, deciding what to dress, yeah, we make those decisions. And we make decisions all the time of what we're going to do about work and play and all those kind of things. And the nice thing is, this verse says that when we fall down, he reaches out and picks us back up and gets us on our way. He delights in those who delight in him. Now, let me give you an example of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in my life. Even though I was in the business world, I mean, from a young age, I just liked business, and I began to operate in business. My education, every bit of it ended up being towards the ministry. And, you know, I had desires to do the ministry, went to Bible school and all that kind of thinking, but there are so many things in my life that I thought, well, I don't know, maybe I'll just work and give to missions, you know, all those kind of things, you know. And yet, I kept on being prepared for the ministry. And my plans weren't necessarily that. Mine were 2- and 5-year plans. And yet it seems like that no matter what I did, he always seemed to make my steps go in the direction he wanted me to go. I think, how did that happen? How did that happen that all of a sudden I end up with a bachelor of theology, a master in counseling, a MDiv and a PhD? And I think, I mean, I wanted to get educated, but it wouldn't have been smart to do it in the business world where I was working. And all the things that I did, I got, you know, I worked on a production line. I hated that. Anybody work on a production line and hate it? I mean, I cut envelopes day after day after day, you know, envelope after envelope. And I did that for about 6 years. And I finally told the plant manager came by. He says, how you doing? I said, hey, I love this company, but I can't stand doing production work anymore, so I'm leaving right after Christmas. This was in November. He said, well, you wait and let me see if I can find something for you. And so he got me a job in supervision. And man, I came alive. Boy, I kind of like that, supervision. And then pretty soon I'm in management. Pretty soon I'm in leadership. I kept on taking through my life these positions that prepared me to serve you. Now, how did that happen? I didn't mastermind it. Yeah, I want to. You know, even with consulting, and you know that sometimes I still do consulting, and that schooled me to be a better pastor than ever, because just think about this for a minute. A consultant goes into a company and tries to get already paid employees that don't get a dime's more to go from one spot to another, right? To improve their life, and they don't get, so it's, they're volunteers, right? Well, isn't that what the ministry's about? And I looked at that, and I got, in 1999, I got into consulting and have been doing up to basically the present. And I look at that, and I think, how did that happen? How did God put those things together and organize my steps through my life to become what he wanted me to become? Because he knew I had the spiritual gifts to do what I'm doing. It's always thinking, Steve, I know you're stupid, but I am going to get you to where I need you to go. Isn't it true? Don't you relate? So here's what I want. I want you to stop for a minute here, or I'm going to stop, and I want you to turn to somebody, and especially if you don't know somebody, and do you relate to what I'm saying so far? Where you have an idea where you need to go, and you don't go that way, you go a whole different way, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, that was the right way to go. God knew what he was doing. I want you to just quickly, in 2 minutes, 1 minute each, tell the story of how that's true in your life. What do you have an example? Because I'm sure when I was saying that, you came up with an example, okay? Now, some of you may not. Some of you may be blindly going through and you're still in that blind spot. That's okay. You'll come out the other end, not where you thought you were going to go, okay? All right, so turn and talk to somebody and tell them what you think. Where were you going to go and where did you end up? Okay, the other person. All right. Okay, kind of bring it down to a 10 seconds. Okay, good. All right. So some of you look like you were turning to your wives and husbands having the first romantic talk for the week. That was good. Maybe that's the direction God was pulling you. Did you ever think of that? Yeah. All right. Anybody have anything you'd like to share which really you could really see the difference? Just a couple people. Anybody? Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Okay, can you hear her? Okay, yeah, they were dating for how long? Knew each other. Yeah, just friends for a long time. All of a sudden it turned into a marriage. Yeah. Yeah, I have kind of a similar. I remember when I was at Grace Bible College, Debbie walked past me one day on a sidewalk. I thought, I'm going to marry that girl. I never talked to her before. And then I thought, why do I do those kind of things, you know? And I married her, ended up dating her and marrying her, and she's been the best thing for me for the ministry. I didn't know who she was. I could have been married somebody that was a loser in terms of the ministry. Okay? You understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying a loser person in terms of the ministry. Boy, you guys are an ornery group. Yeah, and in, yeah, following the leader. Yeah. And instead, I married someone who was probably my perfect match for doing the ministry. You know, she was able to counsel me. I remember when she even said to me, look, I'll tell you when you're ready for the ministry. And she didn't tell me that for 20 years. Yeah, well, because I had rough edges. I came from a hard background and had rough edges. And she said, when you're ready to go in the ministry, I'll tell you. And so when this chance came along or this opportunity, I said, am I ready? And she goes, oh, you're ready. I don't know if I am. You know, and so I had good support. How does that happen? Here's what I think God's saying through this. He will guide us and he will direct us. He will lead us into the paths he sees as wise for you and I. Because he knows what your gifting is. He knows your makeup, right? And he's going to push you and push you. Now, you may be resistant, and it won't happen if you stay resistant. But if you allow him to push you in the direction, you're going to go to the place that you're the most happy and joyous in your life. Because you will be fitting into your gift mix rather than doing something that isn't in your gift mix. And all that happens if we trust God, right? If we trust in ourselves, it probably isn't going to work. Trust in God. So the big question is, will we trust and obey God's will as he reveals it to us? Trusting him is actually obeying his directions and is absolutely necessary for God to guide us. How in the world can he guide us if we don't trust him. It's like learning to drive and having somebody tell you, now you need to stop at the stop sign, and you're saying, no, I think I'm just going through. In fact, I was out on Highway 7, and bunch of kids in a car were in a SUV, and they didn't even slow down. They went right across 7, and I thought, man, you know, playing chicken with all the cars on 7, and Debbie and I were on my motorcycle, and I thought, man, we were only about here to the wall when he did it. And I thought, wow. But then we kind of act that way, don't we? We don't stop at the stop signs. We don't do what God's asking us to do. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, there's a speech that Abraham Lincoln gave as he was leaving Springfield, Illinois, to become president. And here's a Civil War. Can you imagine this? You're running for president, and you're elected, and you're on top of a Civil War, ready to start. And he gives his farewell speech, and he says it like this. I now leave, he told them, not knowing when or whether ever I may return. Boy, you talk about prophecy, huh? With a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington, meaning George Washington, without the assistance of the divine being whoever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well. To his care, commending you, as I hope in your prayers you will commend me, I bid you an affectionate farewell. You know, what's sad about Abraham Lincoln is you go to the memorial and they leave out all the God stuff. They carved it right into the marble. Actually, I think in the marble they have the God stuff, but when you read it in books, they've taken it all out. He was a great Christian man. What was Abraham Lincoln really saying there? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I don't know what's going to happen. I have to just trust God. And he's got to lead me in the right direction. And you know, it's funny because as we learn in Christianity and as we read and as we grow, our mind becomes more and more like God's, doesn't it? And pretty soon, it's pretty easy to see his direction. But if you're a new Christian, you don't see it very well. But as you grow and grow and read your Bible, it gets a little bit better and better. And Lincoln's reliance on God for guidance and strength reflects what Solomon said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Sorry, I keep slipping back to the old King James and back. Here's a similar verse in Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Isn't that true? The consistent theme is this. You can plan, but God guides your steps. So let's ponder this verse this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not and to your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I see this verse as having four sections. Trust God, number one. Don't fully trust yourself, number two. Number three is total obedience, focusing on God's word. And number four, he promises direction. So let's walk this out. Number one, trust God. Here's the first step in receiving his guidance, is admitting that we need guidance. Sounds silly, doesn't it? But we have to admit that, and we need to surrender ourselves to his plan. And you might think, well, see, that's a bit simplistic, but hear me out. It's a big deal, because we think we're so self-sufficient. I can do it all on my own. I will pull myself up from the bootstraps. Good old American dream has taught us bad function. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He knows how to give us the right steps. And on top of it, when you think about it, he knows how to give us purpose, right? If you're fulfilling what he built you to do, you're going to have purpose in your life. You know, I was just listening to a family member, a distant family member who doesn't believe in God and that kind of thing, and now he's trying to figure out where his purpose is. Duh. Why wouldn't he have a problem with purpose? Living without trust in God is like driving in fog. You know, just a while back, we had a couple days of fog. Do you remember that? It was kind of foggy all over, and I went to work, and I jumped on my motorcycle, and I was going through the roundabouts and coming down towards the church here, and I got to into the Platte Valley there, and as I crossed the Platte River, I hit a wall of fog that you couldn't see 10 to 15 feet in. Now, what goes through your mind? Is somebody going 2 miles an hour through the fog in front of you? Is somebody kind of semi-pulled over? Did they stop because they're scared? You know? And so that fear ran through my mind, and after a few minutes of that blind voyage, I guess you could say, boom, I came back out of the fog, and everything was fine. And I look at that experience, and I think, isn't it the same thing in trusting in ourselves? We can't bring it to pass. We don't have the ability to bring some of those things to pass. And yet trusting in him gets us to our best destination. And I'm telling you, if you haven't realized this yet, you don't know what your best destination is, right? I mean, my dream of having a church wasn't this. No offense. I mean, I'm not saying it in a... No, I... Yeah. No, I thought I have a bunch of people I didn't love. Oh. No, I can remember when we started this church, it was a lot of ropers and cowboys and this kind of thing. And I was a hippie. I was a direct enemy. So I got to know all the farmers and ranchers and loved them. But it wasn't what I would have done if I chose it. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so it brought me into a world I love, but I never knew this would be my destination. God has a destination in mind for you, and he will guide your steps if you trust in him. People come to me all the time saying, you know, I don't know what God wants, what the plan for my life is, and all this kind of thing. Well, a lot of things in our life isn't his plan, right? But on the other hand, he will guide you into a place that you best function if you just let him. Number two, don't fully trust in yourself. As God guides, he doesn't bypass our brain. We still use that function. We still make choices. We do all those kind of things. But as we read his word, he molds us. And he makes us into what he wants us to be. And we start trusting in ourselves and we begin to move in the wrong direction. My friend, we can't trust in the things that we think are best because we don't know what's best for us. Amen? We just don't know. We think we know. And some of you are thinking, Steve, I know. No, you don't. Give it another year. David, where would David have been if he trusted in himself? Do you remember he put on all of Saul's armor and he couldn't walk in it and that kind of thing, and he threw it off and he said, you know, the Lord of hosts is going to protect me. And he goes out with a little slingshot and kills the giant. That would have never happened if he didn't trust God. Noah built an ark in the desert, for heaven's sakes, never seen rain. Got that boat built and all of a sudden got hit in the eye with a piece of water that came from upstairs somewhere and did God's will. Abraham, God told him to go to another land and he just picked up, packed up his stuff and moved with his family. They didn't lean on their own understanding. They leaned on God's understanding. Number three, total obedience. In all your ways, acknowledge him And when it says that, it means God's direction and guidance and doing it. That's the thing I hate about not understanding Hebrew enough, because in Hebrew, when you understand it, you do it. You remember in the Shema, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You know, hear means to listen and do. In America, it means to listen and forget. Or write it down in the sermon notes, right? Number four, promise direction. Those who choose to acknowledge, which means to own up to or to honor and obey, he will direct your paths. So let me just ask you a couple questions, and I'm going to have you pull out your bulletin and write down your application on there. Today, you're not going to just get transfer information, right? Amen? You actually are going to pull out your bulletin, because I'm going to watch and I'm going to stand here till your bulletin is out. How many didn't get in a bulletin? Grab one next week. Or you can go out and get one and write it down. Do you want purpose in your life? Do you want purpose in your life? Boy, it's hard to do a job and it has no purpose, right? I mean, when I was cutting that envelope, how in the world could I stretch my head in every way I could about purpose? It was pretty tough to have purpose to mail advertisements to people. Didn't make a lot of sense. Do you want your past straightened out? That's what acknowledgement means. When he says he will direct, it means to straighten out, to make the crooked road straight in your life. And God in Christ is asking for your life. And so I think what Psalm is saying is, engage, Christian, engage. Quit putting it off. Quit sitting on the fence. There is no fence. You're living a second-rate life because you're not willing to trust me. And so let me just ask you this question. What would your life look like if you fully trusted in him, you followed his plan? As he guided your steps, what would you look like today? I know I'd be probably in a better spot than where I am. Wouldn't you say the same? Get out your bulletin, write down today, what do you think the Lord is telling you today? Write it down. Write it down. And then hand it to your husband, doesn't care about the bulletin, and have him write it. Okay, if you come to application today, something that hit you, something that you thought about, something that struck your heart, did you find it? You write it down. Will you pray about it this week? Will you take that application and pray about it? Father, we come this morning. We love you so. Lord, you're a great God who wants the best for us. And Lord, we just admit, and you know it because you tell us that we have a rebellious heart and we fight it. And then when we give in and we trust you, you take us on great leaps and help us to be more like you. And Lord, we want to be a church here at Harvest Fellowship of people who are trusters in you, that we trust you. And may it be for all the glory to you. If you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ, let me just talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The free gift. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let me just say a prayer, and if today is the day you want to really give your life to Christ, you just pray along with me, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just like that verse said. And because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Well, heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer any minute, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you've been in business today. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we so thank you that you've come and you live in us and you help us. And Lord, help us to listen and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.